The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the second hour of John Miller's National Intel Report.
Do you mind, V, if I just finish making the point about the Arameans, the Bible really being about the Arameans who lived in Judah?
One second.
Sorry.
I just want to let everybody know that, yes, they... I originally wasn't going to have people call in, but people are calling in anyway. So, yes, the phone lines are open. If you would like to call in, go ahead and do so. And also, once again, we are sponsored by TLBTalk.com. Ladies and gentlemen, get on to TLBTalk.com if you're not on there. There are wonderful people there, like myself and our guest. So be in the be in the circle. Get in that circle. Circle of trust, you know, CIA, yes. circle of trust. All right. Yes. But yeah, go ahead with your point.
Yeah. We always knew that Abraham or Avram was actually an Aramean. And they were part of what the Greeks called Mesopotamia. But the southern part was Beth Nahren, the house between two rivers. The middle was Aram Nahraim. The place where, and that was incorporated parts of modern-day Syria. And then the north was Assyria. But anyway, in Genesis 28.5, Isaac, 28, chapter, verses 5, Isaac sent Jacob to Padan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of his mother Rivka, I guess. And then again, Genesis 31.20, Jacob deceived Laban. Laban was the father of the two women that Jacob married. Jacob eventually became Israel. He changed his name. So Jacob deceived Laban the Aramean by not telling him blah, blah, blah. That's Genesis 31, verse 20. Read on from there. And then Genesis 31:24. But that night God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream and warned him that he was taking off. Chronicles 19:16, when the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel because their capital, they never had one united kingdom. They had many little kingdoms, and their capital was Aram of Damascus. Most of the Damascenes, the Damascus residents of ancient times, and probably even today, and many of the Syrians are actually of Aramean heritage. And so, and just read on in Samuel 8:5, when the Arameans of Damascus came to help King Hadadezer of Zobah, David struck down and blah, blah. And David, by the way, was not a Jew. He lived in the province of Judah, was born in Bethlehem, or what I would like to believe is he was a Telhami. And his father, Jesse, would be, without the J, Esau. Which is what many people, my father was named Isa, because that you usually name your son after a proud or after a respected member or ancestor of your community. So in Bethlehem, Isa, Jesse, because we don't, it's actually J-E-S-S-E, that's Yesa, Isa, without, because they drop the either the Aleph glottal stop or the Ayin. Whichever it might be, Ayin, Isa, with a glottal stop at the end. So, and you know what's the worst part is most Arabs don't even know it. They don't know their own history. They have been, at least I am grateful to modern Jews for having at one time acknowledged their Aramean heritage. Arabs don't even know it. They're not taught it. They're told they're all Arabs and Muslims. And by the way, The Middle East used to be 90 to 95% Christian. They're now nearly all dead. And a lot of it is because of Islam hatred of Christianity.
Well, I was actually going to cover earlier this week. I ran out of time, but there's a slaughter in Nigeria. Everybody's angry at Joe Biden because, well, basically the presidency is supposed to point out five different nations around the world that that have Christians. They're being persecuted, and they're supposed to send aid. But Nigeria is on this list, and nobody's doing anything about it. And so it's all the Christians are being slaughtered. The guns have been taken away from the Christians.
Yes.
And the jihadists are actually being armed by the military. And there's a genocide going on.
So I've often wondered, some of those jihadists, there's always instigators. No, if things were spontaneous, we would already be united in the U.S. and Canada in rebelling against the tyranny we're enduring. However, usually there are instigators who are like cheerleaders that coordinate. And you need to have someone on top with the power and the money and the resources to do that. When people act spontaneously, they rarely come together in a cohesive fashion that will be effective. So the Christians have been destroyed. By the way, the story is that Muhammad himself was actually named Muhammad. Ahmed means that he was baptized. Muhammad. Now, did it change to Muhammad? But the story is that his first wife, Khadija, was a Christian. They were married in a church by her uncle, who was a bishop. Only later, like all religions, they're revised to meet the political and propagandistic goals that they have.
Yes.
So while
religion, yes, absolutely.
Or any government or any institution or any sports club. Everyone's got their... I mean, you know, what's his name? Augustus Caesar had Virgil, was it, that wrote the Aeneid that about Romulus and Remus? Virgil, I believe, was his propagandist. But propaganda... The Bible is propaganda. It's a tribe... tribe of Judah that wrote the story that we're the special people. And
it's
then
mind
along
control.
And then along comes... 2,000 years into the future, a political group comes along. And by the way, we have to remember Zelensky and Netanyahu were winking at each other in 2019, wink, 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 Benjamin Netanyahu had lost the presidency. He was behind Zelensky.
Netanyahu? Satan Netanyahu?
Let's call him what he is.
We're going to get way, you know what? Way too deep. Let's reel it back. Here.
All I want is to bring out a lot of topics for other people to pursue, other RBN hosts or TLB Talk.
I have a curiosity. When it comes to CBC television, the only thing that I liked and I would watch was Marketplace, how they exposed corruptions with this and that and whatever. Did you ever meet Erica Johnson?
No, everybody was very isolated. People did not associate with one another. There were cliques. And my mistake in the Vancouver newsroom when I got there was I was determined to mind my own business and just do my job. Because I knew I thought I would have to support a husband and a child. I did not anticipate that I didn't expect my family to die and to inherit funds. But I was focused on, I've got to keep this job because I was already in my 40s. I may have looked young, but I was in my 40s. And the scumbag who twisted things around, I won't go into that yet. But
I was just curious because...
You have to join a gang to be protected from other gangs. I didn't do that. That's what I mean. So people didn't associate it, but in cliques.
That seems evident because I don't see a lot of cross programming with these people. I had a huge crush on Erica Johnson. That's why I was asking.
Honestly, I don't even know who she is. Once I left the business in 1990, I literally, 90. I was, 1990. Yeah, I left August 1990. And I was quoted in the Globe and Mail, which at that time was the most respected newspaper in Canada, the national newspaper. They did a great job. I was on the front page of the art section, upper half, where I said, in this business, we're the whores. I was referring to a conversation I had with one of my news directors that I really respected. And he said, you should get an agent. Someone told me you should get an agent when you're going to New Orleans because you can't negotiate your deals properly, especially your co-anchor will probably have an agent. And my co-anchor's agent did call me. And I said, so I called my boss and said, Jack, should I get an agent? He said, no, they're all whores. I said, Jack, in this business, we're the whores. The agents are the pimps and the public are the johns.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, well, and that was the quote in the first quote. Now, he misused it, but it was an accurate quote, but out of context. And I stand by what I said. Reporters then were whores. They're even more so now. People call them prostitutes. That's still a very generous way of referring to them. Now, I relinquish. I give up. I'm going to stop. I know I wasn't going to do this, but I've just rushed off like a torrent.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get back into that with you. But first, let's go ahead and get through the calls. Let's go with Charles in St. Pete, Florida. Line one. Go ahead. Charles, are you there?
Probably got tired of waiting.
Probably. Okay, let's go to Francis, North Carolina, line three.
Hey, folks.
Hello, how are you doing? You got a question or a comment for our guest?
Well, first of all, I'm going to see if I can say this properly without adulterating it or whatever have you. Inshallah.
Inshallah? You mean Inshallah?
Inshallah, yes.
Inshallah. By the way, Inshallah... The Spaniards use it also as ojalá, if God willing. Inshallah means if God is willing. Inshallah. Oh, okay. And the Spaniards use it because of the Muslim Arab influence in the Iberian Peninsula. But also, ironically, today's Israelis use it when they say yalla. What do they think yalla means? It means ya Allah. and wallah, when they say wallah means I swear by God. You say wallah when you're trying to stress the accuracy of what you say. And Israelis use it, wallah. And they use yalla as a greeting and a goodbye. They don't know that they're saying the Arab ya Allah.
Oh,
so get that, Israelis. You and your yalla and your wallah. You've taken you've taken probably what you don't know.
Indeed.
Because Jews don't even know. Go ahead, sorry.
I appreciate the correction about that because I was using it out of innocence and the aspect of how it was expressed to me at one point in time in the past. So I appreciate the clarification. Layla, you're not going to believe this, but I think you should have your own show because you have literally floored me and you sound like an encyclopedia.
Well, I have a good memory and I do read a lot. I was blessed with that. So, actually, I briefly had a show, but there was just a complication, and I had to withdraw, and then it just never seemed to come back again. I regret that I didn't stay with it. There were events at the time that made it difficult for me to do so. I regret I didn't stay with it, because I do think there's a lot that needs to be said.
Well, I think there could be plenty of opportunities for you here in the future. Stay in contact with me.
Well, I will be. Sorry,
well, if anything, I appreciate the clarification of terminology and so forth, and I am floored, completely blown, and exceedingly grateful because that has clarified a lot as far as use of terminology, the expression thereof, and where the point of origin has come from or originated from, because this day and time, I hear terminology being thrown around this way and that way for any particular part of society's agenda. And so I am exceedingly grateful to you for that clarification. Meanwhile, I wish you all a fun weekend, and if you don't mind, I'll have lime, coconut, and pineapple with my Corona.
There you go.
Thank you, Francis. I've heard you on Rivero's show, and I think you're a lovely caller. Thanks for calling in.
I'm in trouble now.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. See,
take care. Have fun.
any other proof that you need to say that you're legendary? I mean, you're giving me butterflies. I love it.
You're amazing, B. But every now and then I find myself stopping from calling. I want to call you Vic, and I don't know why. But it was my brother's name. V. Okay, I'll just remember. V. Thank you for having me on, V. I'm actually... It came out of the blue, and I was when you offered it, I didn't expect to hear from you, but I was delighted when we followed through, because this being Christmas time, obviously my mind wanders back, and when you have time, I would like to talk about the original narrative of the Nativity story.
It's entirely separate show.
Yes. I agree. That's very specific.
That would be fun. Absolutely. Mike, did we get Charles back? Oh, okay. So he just dropped. Well, this gives me the opportunity. I want to ask. So you've gotten into the background of what I want to ask already, but I need to go ahead and ask the question so that we could have other avenues. So your view of Operation Mockingbird, CIA. So this is, and people understand, it's not just the United States that CIA has control of as far as the media is concerned. Because I know just recently, you guys heard me talk about how the quote-unquote Russian missiles hit Poland. And I immediately have to tell everybody, that's sensationalism. It's a false flag. I had a ton of people calling me. It's like, don't believe the first thing you hear. Wait. And, you know, if we found out, because the news of it came from U.S. intelligence first.
Intelligence?
Yeah. That's what I say, too. Yeah, intelligence. it came from U.S. intelligence first. It's like, okay, so this is an event that happened here in Europe. Why are we hearing about this first from U.S. intelligence? Mm-hmm. And it's getting to the news. Why not European, you know, even Poland news? Why not? So, you know, but that's how you know they control so much of it. So, but you've gone through so much experience with, you know, handlers and the corruption behind the scenes. So what is your overall view of the Operation Mockingbird? How much of it is true? How much of it is blown up? I don't know. What are your general views on it?
You know what? I'm as much in the dark as anyone else who relies on the internet, because the internet is now the propagandistic medium for those who have the power to control it. However, one thing I do believe is that Zelensky is acting with support behind the scenes from Satanyahu, whatever you want. You can call him what you want. To me, I have that name for him. And yes. I think and now that he's back in Israel, I'm really worried. But when I saw a couple of videos on Israeli TV, the Knesset TV station, I believe, where Netanyahu was meeting with Zelensky after he managed to get elected with that crazy comedy series of Servant of the People, where Zelensky was pretending to be the president of Ukraine. It was all being set up. And who controls things? I feel sorry for the Ukrainian people. I feel sorry for the Russian people. And here's an interesting anecdote. Just before COVID, I was all set to go to Tibet with some friends because I love learning different languages. Then COVID struck. Okay, so I'm stuck here. Then when COVID let up, I was all set. I was in touch with somebody at the University of Moscow with regard to foreign students coming into the university and being trained. But you need an invitation to get a visa to go to Moscow. So I was in communication with a woman there. I think it was a woman. And it was also, I was going to go to Turkey first, spend some time there and learn a little bit of Turkish. And then from there, Because when I visited Turkey before, it was way too fast. I wanted to spend about 6 weeks or so and then go to Moscow and spend an extended length of time. Then the war broke out. Now, I think they're obviously, we know what is happening. The European Union, nonsense. They're not united. The many European states feel embittered that they're being exploited by NATO. But the military, NATO, is just, it's a corrupt institution.
I can second that. The United States funnels money to the European Union, then the European Union funnels money to the other countries. And I can tell you, Poland, they just sit back, suck in all the money, and say, screw your laws.
Yep, but at the same time, remember the Poles that were in Western Ukraine, how brutally they were treated by the Germans in the Nazis. Let's face it, they were Nazis. And here in Canada, by the way, you know that today Canada has offered to send, what, 500 million to Ukraine? We in Canada? As though we can actually afford it when they're the poverty here in Canada now is outrageous. But do you know why? Chrystia Freeland, I'm sorry, that woman forgot to wear her babushka. There was a photograph of her on her social media in the very beginning where she was waving, what was his spandel? That Nazi, she was waving a spandela flag or spandetta. What was his name? For some reason, his name slips my mind.
Not sure. It slipped my mind, too.
Yeah, she was waving that flag of the Nazis. So she's Ukrainian. Her grandfather was a Nazi who at least he edited a Nazi newspaper in Alberta. So she is using Canada for her ethnic bias. It is an outrage. Justin Trudeau, I won't even bother. He's so insignificant. A vain little puppet who just wanted to be recognized and to be on stage. And what's his name? Klaus Schwab of the WEF found the perfect dupe, the perfect puppet there with the vanity to do it. But Chrystia Freeland with her, she's just a Ukrainian who's using Canada. And it outrages me. Now, all of Russia, Putin did what he had to do. I have no doubt. I don't have any insights beyond what we all see, and then we all make our own deductions and arrive at our own conclusions. And I think Putin had to because he knew he was being encircled.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that as well. I've got to get you on the Red Pill Nation. Trudeau is a favorite subject on the show. But for right now, we're going to go ahead and go back to the phone lines. I do believe we have Alan in Texas, line one.
Yes, good evening, y'all.
Hello.
How y'all doing tonight? Earlier you brought up something, it's a rather large little building in far western Ukraine, kind of tucked up against your backyard there, right along the Polish border. You mentioned the Chabad Lubavitchers. The largest Chabad Lubavitch city is in western Ukraine, probably the safest place to be in that whole nation, probably the one place that will never receive a bomb or be shelled or anything else. Are y'all aware of that fact?
Well, and people have, like I said, called me. Are you okay? Are you okay? It's like, listen, if Poland gets hit with anything, that's World War III. Putin does not want that. He doesn't have the resources to do that. It's just not going to happen. So, guys, stop worrying about me. It's just not going to happen. So
it's interesting you mentioned the Chabad Lubavitch because I believe they originated in Poland itself. But there were Poles and Germans in western Ukraine. You must know about that, V.
Absolutely. Of course.
And once again, not saying that all people that are of the Jewish religion, if you want to call it that, or the Jewish faith, not all of them are bad. But from everything that I've heard, Chabad Lubavitch is one of the really militant factions. And the largest Chabad Lubavitch center is tucked right up, on far western Ukraine, right up against the Polish border over there, probably the safest place to be in that whole country at this point in time.
Yeah, and they're now they actually pretty well have taken over much of North America. They've replaced in many ways the Orthodox, because I used to go to the, I had friends who were Orthodox Jews, and I would go there, and then I discovered that they weren't actually Orthodox, they were Chabad. It is a very recent, it is a very militaristic organization, I think, but it goes, there's so many different variations on the Judaism theme. For example, Thessaloniki, they were Donme Jews. It's said that Kemal Atatürk in Turkey was actually a Saloniki Jew. A Donme Jew is what they call them. Some of them are hidden. And there was another one who claimed that he was the Messiah, and he was absolutely perverse. And he fled from, I can't remember where he was chased out because of his perversions. He ended up in Turkey, converted to Islam because he was forced to, and then continued to practice incest and many other things that many Jews would find obscene if they are aware of it.
This is kind of like, all these people that join the Masonic Lodge so they can get business connections, you know, does not mean that everyone that's in the Masonic Lodge, you know, they might be first or second degree Masons, but they're not 32nd degree Masons. You know, there are different levels in everything, you know, and it's all perverted and bastardized and uses a control mechanism. Not everyone who's a member, do they gain benefits from being a Jew? Well, yeah, because you can always claim it's like, well, if you say something bad, it's like, well, you're anti-Semitic, you know. Do all of them use it? Do they gain a benefit from it? Yes, but not all of them are just pure evil. No,
a lot of them are legit. Yeah, a lot of them are legitimately devout, and they have faith in their religion. And those are the people who should not be blamed for those who are actually exploiting them and using their religion as a smokescreen. That is the tragedy. It happens in every religion. I mean, let's face it. What is the Vatican? By the way, did you know that?
What does an Arabic Christian say when they talk about God? They call him Allah. Allah. You know that's God. You know, so an Arabic Christian when he says Allah, does that mean he's evil? No.
Well, actually, the name for God, even amongst those who were Jews in ancient times or Judeans, practiced Judaism, the name, it depends on the vowel. The vowels change very dramatically from one dialect to another, from one region to another. It's either il, el, or al, or Allah. So Allah is, it's just a way that they express it, and it may have a greater meaning when you're saying Allah. For example, my name. Everyone thinks the name Layla means bread in Hebrew, Layla, and meat, or no, it's Bethlehem that means meat. People take modern day words, translate them, and then assume, and then anachronistically attribute those meanings to ancient words. So, for example, in Hebrew, it's Elohim, the plural, when you refer, and you're not supposed to call him Elohim, you're supposed to call him Adonai. Well, Adonis was a Canaanite god, and he was also the Greek Adonis. But Adonai...
It's funny you bring up that phrase Elohim, because you remember the whole Oklahoma bombing thing in Elohim City, which was in far eastern Oklahoma. It was right across the border from where I've been. I've actually been in that area. I've been around Elohim City, you know, where the evil, you know, people lived. And they take religion, they take people's faith, and they twist it and they pervert it, and it's used as a weapon of control, a mechanism of control. And I'll let y'all get on with the show, and I will end like my friend Francis, who called earlier. It's like I will say Inshallah, because I do get a lot of television out of the Middle East, and I've heard Inshallah quite a bit, and that just means go with God. God be willing. Yes.
All right. Yes. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back, guys.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Yes, we are here with Layla Paul. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know we had some had music bumpers like that on this hour. Yeah, we got to keep that one in the rotation, Mike.
Yeah, Mike does a great job with those.
Yes, indeed. All right, so we're going to get back to the phone lines. I do believe we have Charles back from St. Pete, Florida, line 3, go ahead.
Yeah, glad to speak to you, and especially Layla. I've been listening to some of her things on Republic, when she calls in Republic Broadcasting. Is Layla, Layla, are you familiar with Marmaduke Pickthall, writer in the early 20th century? He was wrote about the Palestinians in his book. I used to have a copy of it, about how the three religious groups were very similar to each other and got along fine in 1907. And Marmaduke Pickthall, he was an Englishman who was convert to Islam.
Yes, I'm not familiar with him specifically, but I can tell you at that particular time, that land that they called the Holy Land was under, it wasn't a separate country. Palestine, until
yeah,
the
it was
British
part of the Turkish Empire.
It was a province. It was a vilayet, or it was a satrapy under the Persians, a vilayet under the Turks, I believe, and then a province under the Romans. And it was the Romans who made it into a province. They obliterated Judah to punish them for their rebellions because they were so persistent. And they made it, they called it Syria Palestina. So when someone like Bashar al-Assad says that both Lebanon and Palestine belong to Syria, they don't belong to Syria. They were all one province, Syria Palestina.
Well, Anton Saadi said, you know, the father of the Social National Party, he was a teacher at the Beirut American University. He said, you know what, about Abraham, he said, the sin of the Canaanites is still with us. And what is the sin of the Canaanites? That the Canaanites let Abraham dwell among them.
You know, that's...
It is still with it and overwhelming the whole world.
You know, a lot
Anton
of
Saadi.
Words... Yeah, a lot of words have been made up and a lot of phrases and ideas that have been put into the mouths of Jesus and numerous other prophets and attributed as having been written in any of the biblical manuscripts, old or new. But the point is the Canaanites were never one people. Now, you're American. Are you
all one
ethnic group with one religion, with one homogeneous genetic heritage? No. The same with the Canaanites. That land along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean.
But Anton Saadi pointed out that's where civilization started. That was the Fertile Crescent. And he wanted for the people in the Middle East to form the Union of the Fertile Crescent, the countries
They cannot because there are too much. There's way too many differences, and there's too much history behind them. The best that we can hope for is that people will practice their religions in private and deal with one another
that's the point I was making about Marmaduke Pickthall. The picture he paints of the three religious groups, the Islamic, Christian Palestinians, and Jewish Palestinians, is they were very similar in 1907 and got along. I think of the Ashkenazim Jews who brought in Zionism to the Middle East after that.
We're
just like European colonialists. They were foreign to the whole system that was there previously. They brought Zionism is a artificial colonial system.
Yes, but it was created as an excuse, and they stole the Bible as their narrative and their cover.
Right, many things in the Bible are really plagiarized, like the book of Esther. Yes. Esther is the Zagmuk Festival of the Babylonians.
That event never existed. That was taken from a Persian short story or a novella.
Esther and Mordecai are Ishtar and Marduk.
Well, first of all,
the Babylonians used to celebrate the festival of every year in springtime. And they adopted that, and they made up this story about Esther and Mordecai, which are Mars and Venus, Ishtar and Marduk. They triumphed over the Elamite deities in Babylon.
Mordecai was a pagan god of Babylon. He was not even, there was no such thing as Jews in those days. There was no Judah. There was no Judaism. When Mordecai existed, he was the pagan god of Babylon. So, but anyway, the whole idea.
You know, Yahweh had a consort, Eshera. Shekinah. In the Kabbalah, they discuss this that Yahweh and Esheron or Shekinah have sex in the old temple, and it was destroyed by the Romans. They didn't record it.
That's very wrong. It's disrespectful to the people that consider. Now, first of all, the word Jehovah, there is no J in those days. It was Yah.
Well, yeah, sure, of course. Yeah, that's the way we pronounce it in English. Yahweh.
Hawa is Aramaic.
It's a tetragrammaton.
Hawa means breath, wind, nephes, the spirit, the soul. It has multiple meanings. That's the beauty of Aramaic. And Arabic has that as well. Now, when modern Hebrew was being created, they borrowed from the Arabic language and primarily the Aramean Assyrian and the Assyrian language to create modern Hebrew. It is not part of the old language, and the old Hebrew was only a dialect spoken in Canaan.
Well, it was a dialect of Aramaic and also the language of Ugarit. At Rosh Hashanah in 1928, they discovered it's actually Canaanite and Hebrew are related to the Ugarit language of which is near Latakia in northern Syria. Yeah. It is the ruins of it found. They go back 6,000 BC.
May I just tell you a little bit about Ugarit?
Sorry.
Do you know how the Arabs refer to Jerusalem as Il-Quds? In the Ugaritic language, Il is their name for God. They use the I vowel, Il. And Quds means sanctuary. To the people of Ugarit, Jerusalem was the sanctuary of God. To the people of Sumer, or of the Babylonian Chaldeans, it was Ur-Shalem. The city of Shalem would be the light unto the world. Peace, that's where... Today, when I write to a friend who is a Chaldean, I say Shlama, which means hello, it means peace, it means many things. And now the Arabs, it is Salam, and in Hebrew, it's Shalom. But basically, it all originates from Shlama. And the reason I bring up the Chaldeans, because that is who Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, he was the one who brought the Judean upper classes to Babylon, educated them.
Yeah, taught them Babylonian to read, captivity.
Taught them to read and write. And Daniel stayed there. And Hananiah, which was one of my ancestors from my paternal side, my paternal grandmother, Hananiah was his friend, one of the four men that were chosen as the top of the Judeans that were brought, because Nebuchadnezzar wanted to teach them about civilization and culture. And in fact, Daniel, I believe, stayed there and did not even go back. He became a governor of one of the regions around Babylon. But Babylon has been taken and lost many, many times. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Elamites, the Persians were the most profound controllers of Babylon. They had a wonderful empire. Cyrus the Great was actually called by the Judeans the Mashiach, because when he came in and took over Babylon, he said to the Judeans, I am going to open the treasure, the house of the treasury of Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm going to give you back everything that he took from your temples, the silver, the gold, and all the wealth. Go back and rebuild your temple in Jerusalem. That is why the Judeans, who were religious, considered him the Mashiach, because the Mashiach was supposed to release them from captivity. That was the
Messiah.
Messiah.
Yeah. In Hebrew, the way they pronounce it now.
Mashiach, that's Aramaic, and then and Hebrew has used Aramaic as Hebrew. That's why I say they are plagiarizing again.
Well, they're very close, and Ugaritic was very close to ancient Hebrew, and Canaanite are almost identical to Ugaritic.
Actually, the
Ugarit people went back much further, though ancient. Canaanite people, that's what they were.
Ugarit, well, they were all Canaanite in Akkadian, means the borderlands. the furthest region of the landmass. Right. It's on the border of the Eastern Mediterranean. That is what the word Canaan means.
You know, and what Hebrew means? Hebrew was the ancient people used to talk about the aliens that crossed the river.
That's
the
right.
Cutthroat bandits, Hebrew Shagaz.
Absolutely right. That's
both
right,
the
yes.
Babylonians, Sumerians, and the Egyptians, Aperu, Hebrew Shagaz. And Gesenius' Hebrew lexicon, he talks about that too. It's like the German writer, he called himself Gesenius' Hebrew lexicon.
Well, yeah.
Abiru Shagaz, as Eustace Mullins, The History of the Jews. They were the cutthroat bandits.
Yes, that's right. They were.
Cutthroat bandits.
Yeah. In those days, almost every tribe was. Remember, there was a tradition that every tribe, every nomadic tribe, had an obligation. Because it was reciprocal, everyone's lives depended upon it. If you were lost in the desert and you sought shelter from a tribe, they were obligated to offer you their hospitality. But once you were outside their tent and in the desert, they could attack you and kill you. That was just the...
That's like Doughty's, the English traveler, Doughty's Arabia Deserta describes what you're talking about, the life among the Bedouins in the 19th century. Doughty, the Englishman, who was an Arabist.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. There is another name that people also need to look up.
Sir Richard Francis Burton.
Yes, there were many.
Burton, yes, I love him. He's a great writer, great explorer.
I believe he's the one who translated
the 1001 Nights.
I was going to say that. Yes, he's the one who put them together. A lot of them were taken not only from Arabian or from Arabic culture, but from many other cultures. A lot of, for example, even the Greek epic poems, many of them were originally in the Aramaic. They also the Greeks plagiarized a great deal because they had colonies all over the Middle East, and even the Portuguese were in the Persian Gulf. When I was talking to a friend from Basra, and she referred to oranges as Portocali, and I said, wait a minute, that's Portuguese, Portugal. And I said, are oranges native to southern Iraq? She said, no. I said, well, then the Portuguese must have brought them. That's why you call them Portugali. But there are many Europeans that actually, especially from the Portuguese, because they would be from the Iberian Peninsula, which is where the Phoenicians established a colony in Carthage, modern-day Tunis, where Hannibal, the famed general, fought. And then Hannibal and his father, Hamilcar, established Carthaginians. It's called Carthadash in their language, and that became, in Spanish, Cartagena. And in English, Carthage. Now, the trouble with English, the trouble with English today is that we take a lot of words and give them the pronunciation of modern day. For example, the C in ancient Greek or any other ancient language was pronounced ka, never a sa. It was never a sibilant. It was always a ka, and the G was never a ja. It was always a ga.
The thing about the English language, there's so many contradicting ways to speak. It's almost like English was designed for deception.
Actually, that may be part of the nature of the English. When you look at the financial capital of London, deception be its name.
Yes.
You know, what Samuel Noah Kramer did, History Begins at Sumer, he says the story of Adam and Eve. Adam means ruddy in Sumerian, and Eve, it's a pun, Adam and Eve story. Adam is man, and Eve means life in Hebrew, but in Sumerian, it's not a pun.
It's Sumerian, it's Aramaic.
It means life and rib. And Eve is Adam's rib, you know.
Yes.
It's a pun in Sumerian, but not in Hebrew. So who originally wrote the story? The Sumerians did, as Samuel Noah Kramer says.
It might have been even before Sumer. There's an excellent video.
Oh, long before that.
Yeah. If you have Netflix, I highly recommend you watch Ancient Apocalypse. Graham Hancock is an excellent investigative journalist. He's not an archaeologist. He just investigates the theories, the doctrines that the archaeologists put forward.
He's a good writer. Graham Hancock.
The academic archaeologists have established a doctrine, and God forbid anybody dares to challenge their credibility, because their careers are at stake, and they will do anything to prevent the truth from coming out. The age of humanity is far greater.
Charles, we're running out of time here. I want to thank you for calling in.
Thank you, sir.
Wonderful caller.
Yes. Good to talk to you, Layla.
You were very well.
Majnun. You know the poem, Layla Majnun.
That's the story that Romeo
poem
and
in Arabic.
That's the story that Romeo and Juliet is based on.
Right.
A lot of plagiarism going on. Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, Charles, Charles was very well informed. There are a few things I might disagree with him, but overall, he's extremely well read. He would make a conversation in himself. Anyway, I'm sorry, V. I hope I haven't trod on your feet too often.
I want to touch into some more areas here before we end the show, because we talk about the relation between Africans, deep Africans that stretch all the way up to the Middle East, and how you had one large culture. It was very heterodized. It was very mixed up. But it's something that I find to be a shame, a great shame, is that, as Americans, high school and middle school, whatever, you were taught history, but we're only taught European history. And so, fine, whatever. But the history only goes back as far as the last time, right before the Moors occupied Europe, which the Moors had conquered Europe twice. And it's just forbidden knowledge. It's forbidden history. It will not be taught in schools.
Yeah. And when people put on the Shakespearean play of Othello, yes, there were a lot of. I don't think people realize that the Goths, the Germanic tribes, or the Northern European tribes migrated as far as North Africa. There's a lot of misunderstanding there. Moors is really. And what's amazing in Spanish, there are a lot of cities named Matamoro, which means to kill moros. Africa is another continent that's very much neglected. For example, Cecil Rhodes, are you aware of how racist that man was? That when he found an archaeological site with obviously great knowledge and intelligence and talent in having built it, he was determined it had to be a white race. He couldn't believe that it would have been an ancient African race that had built this archaeological location.
The same thing happens today, like with the ancient aliens. if it wasn't white, it had to have been aliens. Yeah,
I've read that. Oh, yeah, Africa was developed because aliens came down to mine gold from another planet, and they chose Africa to do it. And that's why wonderful things occurred in Africa. It's amazing how much, it's sad. It's sad how much ignorance exists. And I'm not going to pretend that I've always been this open-minded. I've actually fluctuated back and forth. I had a wonderful time when I traveled throughout the Caribbean. I always traveled alone because that was how I could mingle with the people. When I went to Europe, I always went alone, except for once. And then when you go alone, you end up meeting people and enjoying the actual culture in its place of origin. We're not multicultural societies anymore. We're a hodgepodge because people's cultures change when they come here, and everybody is somewhat disoriented. Now, the Africans have been here long enough, the people of African heritage have been here long enough that they've adapted to this culture. And I think to try and make intellectual distinctions is very, it's very biased, it's very misguided. In the white race, are we going to say that whites have no retarded people or no idiots or no, excuse me for saying so, white trash? I mean, there are more differences within a group than there are between separate groups. You can have, you know, particular types in each group. You can have extreme bad and extreme good, extreme stupidity and extreme intelligence. Yes. And by now, we should have recognized that. And I'm not pretending that I was completely free of biases. Throughout my life, I've had my biases, but I've changed. And that was one of the reasons, by the way, that I got, I think I made a statement that if I had been born a Jew, I probably would have been a Zionist. And apparently that aroused all kinds of huge phone calls. People got all of, but my goodness, I was born believing I was a Palestinian. And only after decades of research did I discover there's no such thing as a homogeneous Palestinian ethnicity. There never was a Palestinian country. Today, there's a group of political people who call themselves Palestinians who are not willing to recognize the reality of Israel as an immovable object. Now, you've got people like the self-serving Saudis who may have long been dealing secretly and betraying the Palestinians, who are now a group. They're really a political group. And there, by the way, there never was a Palestinian flag. That the flag that they're using used to be the flag of an Arab warring group. I can't remember exactly which, but there never was, because there never was a Palestinian country. There was no Palestinian government. It was always states that were administered by empires, and people came from different parts of the world. Religious people, Jews, Christians of many sects came and
people
lived.
People migrate. We move. That's exactly what we do. Layla, we've run out of time for the show. I wanted to leave some time for you to plug some stuff. I would really like to watch some of your old broadcasts. I mean, is there any archive of you with your news anywhere? Anything?
Well, I do have some old resume tapes, but they're on either half-inch beta or on VHS. I never had them transferred over to CDs. So if you know anyone who's got the equipment, assuming the tapes haven't deteriorated.
Oh, wow. Well, you're a legend. I can't wait to have you back on the show again. Guys.
Thank you, V. Love talking to you. Really, really enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. Yes. Yes.
Call me anytime you want if you have questions about anything. Take care of yourself.
We'll have you back on. Yes.
Okay, absolutely. Great. All right. Terrific. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Yes, that's been another episode of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, V. And, yeah. Catch you next time.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.